More than 40 years ago, the New Jersey Supreme Court's Mount Laurel decision was hailed nationally. It proclaimed it was unconstitutional for local zoning to exclude housing for its poor and working class. Yet decades later, New Jersey is in a full-blown affordable housing crisis and leads the nation in foreclosures. And despite the scarcity of affordable housing, there are thousands of vacant homes just wasting away. Bob Henley has the latest edition of WBGO Investigates.
Back in January 2015, attorney Kevin Walsh with Fair Share Housing was before New Jersey's highest court, making the case it was time for the court to step back in because its Mount Laurel decision that declared the state had to make room for housing for the poor and working class had been ignored.
It's 15 years in which the rights that Mount Laurel recognized had gone unenforced with real human consequences. So we come to the court and say, please do what you promised to do.
Kelly Patterson and her boyfriend Tim Johnson know all too well about the human consequences of New Jersey's failure to live up to Mount Laurel's 43-year-old mandate. They spent this winter living in Kelly's car with her three dogs. Finding affordable housing is impossible almost 6 years after Sandy hit this part of Monmouth County along the Route 38 corridor.
Driver's seat has two little dogs. On the seat there's one dog and on the floor there's one little dog. Then the big dog is in the passenger seat with the seat laid down. Then we cuddle up in the back.
In the way back?
In this seat. We make that in with blankets and pillows. I would love to just be in my own home to wake up and brush my teeth and shower and go to work. Because right now we go to Target, Quick Check bathrooms to get ready to an interview. And thank God we have an interview, but I hope we get these jobs. I mean,
get these jobs, save money, get to a state where the cost of living isn't so high, and move there.
Inside MJ's Pizza in Middletown, over a late lunch, Kelly and Tim explain how it came to be that two college graduates in their early 30s ended up homeless and battling addiction issues. Kelly recounted the story of her mother's home in Middletown that the family lost in foreclosure.
My mom's lived there for 18 years, and so have I. I went to college twice, two bachelor's degrees, nursing and health science. Got my two degrees, came home. I moved out on my own several times, but I always came back to mom's when the relationship didn't work out, when the drug addiction got too bad and I couldn't pay my rent. But, yeah. But my mother is a single mom my whole life, hard worker.
For Tim, his life was upended when his father came down with pancreatic cancer and died in a few months. And then his mother fell behind on the mortgage payments.
Well, I have a similar story with foreclosure, too. My mother's house was foreclosed in 2002. So when my father passed away, our house, unfortunately, was foreclosed. Well, she had to sell it before it was foreclosed.
Kelly's mom's home in Middletown is still listed as vacant. It's one of close to 40,000 empty homes throughout New Jersey. In places like Newark and Atlantic City, the crisis is so acute, vacant homes threaten public safety and depress property values. Activists are pushing for a moratorium on foreclosures, which can leave families homeless and their homes vacant. Community activists have been holding regular meetings in the East Orange City Hall in support of the moratorium. Essex County Assemblywoman Brittany Timberlake is one of the bill's sponsors.
Looking at it from a financial perspective, okay, they're bringing down property values because the homes often become vacant and abandoned, and then they attract crime. But looking at it from the most important perspective is that it's displacing people, and it's people are being pushed out of their homes. And I don't understand why a bank would not do all it is that they could possibly do to keep someone in their home by offering different modifications if someone becomes distressed.
Activist Carolyn Bailey.
So the urban area has been cratered out, and zombie houses are everywhere.
She's been fighting her foreclosure in the court since 2006. She doesn't have a lawyer. Bailey says for many African-American homeowners, their current foreclosure problems were the consequence of underlying predatory lending practices that go back decades.
My husband bought the house and my children were raised there, so it's home. That's the connection. I've been there now over 25 years. You know, there was redlining long before there was, the Great Recession, and so that the urban communities, if you manage to get a house, you pay the higher price, you pay the higher percentage on the mortgage. You got terms from the beginning, from the closing, where you were being gouged. So you started out behind the eight ball.
Last November at WBGO's Newark Today live broadcast, homeowners turned out to publicly share their foreclosure experiences.
What about the homeowners that's in the house and fighting foreclosure and every door closed in their face?
We just want to know, is there any relief even on the way, or are we just indefinitely, you know, at the whim of whatever happens?
If I invest 25 years of taxes and good service to the city, they should have some kind of help when there's a struggle and you can't make the mortgage anymore and you got three more years to go.
When you have a foreclosed home you've been living in for 15 years or more and you want to purchase, but Fannie Mae broker says, can't do it. Not happening. Cash for keys, but it's not happening. What do you do?
Raymond Acasio, the executive director of La Casa de Don Pedro, told the WBGO Newark Today audience that the key to addressing the state's housing affordability crisis was to preserve the existing housing stock as if the state's future depended on it.
There has to be a program that supports the preservation and the renovation of the existing properties. Otherwise, we're going to be in a hole that we'll never be able to dig out of.
One place people are working on housing preservation is in the historic Forest Hill section of Newark. One winter night, the neighborhood association held its monthly meeting around a member's dining room table. This section of the city has 1,200 homes that include vintage Victorians that have several bedrooms and grand common spaces that harken back to another era. Association member Catherine Longendyke has lived in Newark her whole life.
Our Forest Hill Community Association is really focused on maintaining the historic designation, number one, and number two, the homeowners, and to some extent that we can help them to maintain their homes properly so that that will keep up our property values and attract new homeowners.
In this neighborhood, residents are committed to not letting any home deteriorate if they can help it. Charles Bell has focused on the vacant homes.
5 or 6 years ago, that there was someone who was no longer in the neighborhood, took it upon herself. She was a great walker and just would see the homes that were, some of them were still talking about. And she got a bunch of us to volunteer, and everybody adopted a house. And we had a clean-up Saturday because we didn't want those houses to look vacant.
Housing preservation is key, experts say.
Good afternoon, United Way, Northern New Jersey.
Here at the offices of Northern New Jersey's United Way in Morris County, the nonprofit has been tracking the dramatic growth in New Jersey families confronting the scarcity of affordable and safe housing. Dr. Stephanie Hoops is the director of the United Way's Alice Project. So who is Alice?
So Alice is someone that we all know. Some of us have been Alice. Alice stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. So people working in low-wage jobs with little or no savings and are struggling to work in parts of our communities that and then support their families. Housing is usually the most expensive item in Alice's budget. Around 40% of households in New Jersey are Alice, so they're all struggling to afford their housing.
Hoop says that for the Alice population, spending 40 to 50% of their income on housing is not uncommon, and that huge bite taken out for shelter has all sorts of real-world consequences.
So if you spend too much on housing, then you might not have enough for child care, and then your children go to substandard child care, or their older sibling watches the younger sibling, and you know, there's some health and safety issues there, as well as, you know, just school readiness.
The United Way estimates that just before the Great Recession in New Jersey, there were more than 913,000 Alice households struggling to pay for housing. Today, that number is closer to 1.2 million. For WBGO Investigates, I'm Bob Henley.